You are listening to the Torah Sparks Podcast, the podcast that finds and ignites sparks of spiritual light and meaning in anything and everything, bringing out lessons and values straight from the Holy Torah. I am your host, Ori Strum. Let's jump right in. Welcome back to the Torah Sparks Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you are watching this on Torah Anytime, wonderful. If you are listening to this on your podcast player, then wonderful. Be it as it may, let's jump right in. Why Jews have no PTO? So, of course, we know Jews have PTA. I mean, that's like a classic. You know, you go to parent-teacher. That's not what I'm talking about. PTO, paid time off, personal time off, planned time off. However you use that acronym, PTO is something that many employers offer their employees. And it's, you know, you have vacation time, you get sick leave, you get paid. So I did a little bit of investigation, some research into this. And under U.S. federal law, paid vacation is not mandated. There's no city or state legislation that guarantees it. However, majority of employers do offer at least some type of time off. According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, they report that civilian and private industry employees typically get 11 days per year after 1 year of service, 15 days per year after 5 years of service, 18 days per year after 18 years of service, and 20 days per year after 20 years of service. And that number looks a little bit different if somebody works for the government. Point is, on average, it's about 10 days of paid time off for most companies. But not so when it comes to Yiddishkeit, not so when it comes to Judaism. Judaism is a religion of 24/7, 365, or 354. It's always, it's never ending. You know, when a Jewish person is sick, there is no PTO. When a Jewish person is on vacation in the Bahamas, or he went to Israel, or he went to California, he went to Florida, there is no PTO. He's always a Jew. He's always a Yid. He's always governed and has to listen to the Torah. Of course, some things may change. He may be putter if he's sick and he needs to eat on a fat. Like, of course, some things may change halachically there. But the point is, the Torah governs him at every stage, at every step, at every moment of his or her life. It's incredible if you think about it. The Yiddishkeit is structured in a way where we're never off. We're never off. There's never PTO. We're always on. Avodas Hashem is a constant. Like I said, it's 24/7, 365. And yeah, it might sound overwhelming. And the reason why this may sound overwhelming is because it is overwhelming. It's hard to always be asked of something. It's overwhelming to always be required to work. It's overwhelming to think about the fact that for the rest of my life, I'm on. The no PTO, no vacation, no sickness. I can never just take a day off. It's overwhelming. It's a big ask. Yes. Is it hard? Of course. But if we have the right frame of mind, are the payouts and dividends worth it? And the answer is a resounding yes, beyond a shadow of a doubt. And in this week's Devar Torah, I'd like to explore this idea in Yiddishkeit a bit further, that there's no PTOs, but it's a good thing. We all know that intuitively, but I'd like to bring it out. And let's begin with the beginning of the Parsha, of Parsha Tzav 6:3, when it talks about, the Torah mentions the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen. V'lavash ha-kohen mido bad, u'michnesei bad yilbash al basar. So the Kohen has to get dressed in his fine begadim, v'heirim ha-sadeshen, there it is, in black and white. And he lifts it up, he lifts up the ashes. This was the first service of every day. Prior to the Karban Tamid, there was this service, an immensely holy service of Trumas Hadeshen. People often think that the first service was the Karban Tamid. It's not true. Trumas Hadeshen was the first. And essentially, what they would do is the ashes from the previous day's Karban, was taken, Cohen would scoop a shovel full from the innermost ashes that were on the altar, and he would place it on the floor of the courtyard, east of the ramp that led up to the top of the altar. And it was these ashes that were then placed in that spot. And it specifically had to be from the previous day's offerings, ashes from the previous day's offerings. And one message right away to glean from the mitzvah of Truma Sedeshin is the importance of focusing and zeroing in on today. You know, the Korban Tamid, no offering can be brought before. There's something so special and so unique about today. But, you know, one of the ways that the Torah sets it up, how are you going to appreciate today? If not, you quote-unquote forget, or you put yesterday to the side. Tomorrow, it didn't happen yet. Yesterday, you put it to the side. You, so to speak, take that trash, the negative, that trash of yesterday, and you put it off to the side and say, today is a new day. The sun is shining, the tank is clean, today is a new day. And so the Truma Sedeshin offers us this framework in our Avodas Hashem to reframe our minds and our mindset to be able to say, hey, I want to focus on today's Avoda, so I'm beginning today's Avoda by taking yesterday's ashes and putting them off to the side. So the Parsha begins with the expression of Tzav. It's a Tzav is a lashon like Titzav. It's a lashon of command, or even more emphatically, like to urge. And it's discussing the laws of the Ola, the elevation offering, which according to Or HaChaim, it's talking about the Korban Tamid, which was offered every single day. And Rashi points out something amazing. I'll read it to you inside. Rashi says, Ein Tzav el lashon zaros, miyad oladoros. The expression Tzav denotes urging on to observe a mitzvah for the present and also for future generations. Think about those words, miyad uledoros. So this more emphatic term of tzav, as opposed to daber or amar, right, to speak or to say, it's because there's something unique here, and that is it's very fitting. And Rashi brings down from based on the Gemara that there's a monetary loss that's associated with the Ola offering, because the Kohen would not have any benefit from it. There was a monetary loss. So therefore, there needed to be this extra urging. It had to be a stronger, more emphatic lashon of tzav. The Chasam Sofer points out a fundamental idea over here. And he says like this, anything that is going to be done miyad lidoros, each day from now until the future. You know how overwhelming that can be? And you know how dangerous that can be. So anything that's miyad ledoros, something that's required of us yom yom every single day, requires a tzav, requires extra zaris, requires more zrizus and alacrity in order not to get into the slump of living avodas Hashem out of rote and out of yeshina, out of sleepiness. It's a typical phenomenon for everyday occurrences. When you do something every single day, the same thing, it's typical for that thing to become rote, to become sleepy, to become second nature, to become not so passionate anymore, to become not as exciting. And the Chasam Sofer says, this is why the Klai, so this is why we say, Ashreinu she'anu mashkin, we say this in the morning, it's in the Korbanos section of Davening, Ashreinu she'anu mashkimim u'ma'arivim v'ayimrim pa'amayim b'chol yom shema Yisrael. Ashreinu, how ashrecha, how praiseworthy, how amazing is it that we wake up every morning and we say in the morning and in the evening, we say two times a day, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. What's the Ashreinu? Chasam Sofer says, Ashreinu shezachinu. There's a tremendous praiseworthiness, and how special is it that yes, even though we say Shema Yisrael and V'ahavta, expressing our fond love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though it's pa'amayim, it's multiple times every single day, Ashreinu shezachinu, there's an ashrecha that's so praiseworthy that each time we can be filled with a greater sense of love and connection for Hashem. We can say it multiple times, but still, that ish, that ava, that passion, that love that we have is not and does not get cooled off, or should not get cooled off. He says, "Mikamakum anu oimrim Shema Yisrael v'yahavta bi'avas olam." We say every day, multiple times, "V'yahavta bi'avas olam," with this long, eternal love, amitis, that's true, that's genuine. Kilu hayoim techilas kabbalas olam achlis shemaim, as if today is the very first time that I am accepting upon myself the yoke of heaven. And the Chasam Sofer explains that the same message is learned from the pasuk in this week's parasha Tzav. It says, "V'eish hamizbeach tukad bo," the altar's fire should burn within it. Says Chasam Sofer, "Tukad bo" means within him, within the belibo, the heart of the Kohen, that there's this passion, that there's this love that's burning within the heart of the Kohen. And that fire and that love, you know what the Kohen had to do? Every single morning they would add eitzim baboker baboker. They would add additional firewood. That way the flame would never go out. And it's the same thing. And when it comes to one's avodas Hashem, to always be adding eitzim baboker baboker every single day, to be adding more dimensions of depth, more dimensions of nuance and meaning and profundity. More, and the more we do that, then the more love that we have. And yes, it's something that we can do every single day. But the point is, it can become deeper. The connection can become stronger and more real. And so that's why there's a tremendous stress over here of Tzav. By here, by this commandment of the Oila, something that was Yom Yom, by the Karban Tamid, something that was going to be every single day, we need the message of Zrizos. We need the message of the Eish HaMizbeach Tukad Bo. We need the message of Eitzim Baboker Baboker to add on to that firewood each day. Add a little bit more. And Ashreinu Shezachinu, that the fact that we can add more firewood, that the fact that we can say V'yahavta every single day and mean it more and more every single day, and it takes on its own character each moment of our lives, depending on what we're doing, what we're going through, that's such an Ashrecha, that's such a praiseworthy thing. We want to be in the realm of Lo Sechbe, where our love is so strong, where it can't even be extinguished at that point. I want to share with you one of the most amazing pshatim that you will probably ever hear. And it's something that's been on my mind for a few years at this point. When I initially heard it from the Kedushas Levi, I was shocked. And I needed to look it up inside, and I would like to share that with you here. And it connects to this idea of adding the eitzim, adding the love, of realizing that Yiddishkeit is always on. There's no PTO. And yes, it could be overwhelming, but it's such an incredible opportunity. Like in the words of the Chasam Sofer, Ashreinu Shezachinu, it's a tremendous opportunity that we have. So, were you honest in business? You may have heard that question. It's one of the first questions that were the first question that we're going to be asked when we get upstairs. And there's a fundamental contradiction there's a fundamental stira, a contradiction that's asked. Tosfos asks this in Shabbos 31a. You could check it out. And he's bothered by this question. In one place, it sounds like the very first question that we are going to be asked is Nesasu v'nesata b'muna. Were you honest in business? And in another place, we're taught did you learn Torah? So what's going to be first? Are we going to be asked, were we honest in business? Or are we going to be asked, hey, were you involved in Torah? Good question. Excellent question. It's a stero. Listen to the words of the Kedushas Levi. If you want to look it up inside, Lakutim. It's in Lakutim on Avos, the beginning of Pirkei Avos. You can also email me, rabbistrumo@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to share with you a write-up for this, and it has some of the Ma'ar Makomos here. And he explains, the Kedushas Levi explains like this, Deshaila achas hu. Listen to this. He says that it's one shaila. Daha baha talia milsa. Da baha talia. They're talui. They're dependent on each other. Kevan da'asak b'maso matan b'emuna shapir asak b'taira. A person's involvement in honest business is considered to be a fulfillment of an engagement in Torah. That's perplexing. That's out of control. That's crazy. A person's involvement, b'masav matan b'emuna, when you're involved in business honestly, then that is a kiyum of Torah. Then that is a kiyum of engagement in Torah. And he explains what he means. You ready for this? He's going to give some examples. A person walks in the shuk in the marketplace, shepaga ba'isha, and he encounters a woman. He doesn't want to look. He knows he's not allowed. The Torah mandates, don't look. He doesn't want to look at her and not at her colorful garments. At that moment, he's recalling, he's remembering the mimer, the mimer that says, there's an isser of istakel ba'isha. You're not allowed to look at a woman. You're not allowed to look at her clothes. At that moment, when he's conducting himself, when he's nasosav and asada b'amuna, when he's living his life, he's not in the Beis Medrash, he's not actually learning in a Gemara, doesn't have a sefer in front of him. But at that moment, he remembers that halacha, it's asur to be mistakel b'isha. So it's nitzah loymed oz halacha. It's he's learning. It's mamish learning at that moment. Take another example. Let's say you're in the marketplace and you encounter it's a place of hefkervelt and you want v'yachol hulomer sheker. You're able to say something that's not true, and he doesn't say that untruth. He doesn't say that fallacy. He remembers the pasuk of loisachachashu at that point, at that moment, v'nimtza. Loimaid us. At that point, he's learning. He's learning the pasuk, which says for that person should not emit the falsehoods from his mouth. At that moment that he's honest, at that moment that he's not speaking sheker, he's learning the pasuk of not speaking sheker. And let's say you go to a store, and you give someone a proper measurement. You are fulfilling, you are remembering at that moment. Maybe it's not consciously, subconsciously, you remember at that moment, you are learning Torah. The Torah says to have proper weights and measurements. This is incredible. V'nimtza im oisek b'masa umatan b'emuna. It thus comes out, if somebody is involved in his business, b'emuna, truthfully, faithfully, b'ratzon Hashem, then azai hu lomed gam kein. At those moments, when you are nesasav nesata b'emuna, you are learning as well. Lomed gam kein. You can't make... I'm telling you, if I would make this stuff up, you'd be thrown out of the room. This is the Kedushas Levi is saying this in black and white. And this is how he answers the Maturitz Kushas HaTaisus. This is how he answers the Kasha of Taisus, the Stira. How can you be asked the same question? Wait, which question was first? Is it the question of Nesasav Nesata B'muna? Were you honest in business? Or did you make time to learn Torah? And the answer is one and the same, because if you honestly were honestly honest in business, then you were learning Torah at those moments. You see again this idea that we're trying to bring out in Yiddishkeit, in Yahadus, in Judaism, a Yid is always on. There is no such thing as PTO. Our employer upstairs doesn't offer it. Hashem doesn't offer it. And while that might turn people off in businesses, hey, they don't offer PTO, I'm not going to go there. In Yiddishkeit, it's the greatest blessing in the world. It's the greatest privilege, like Chassam Sofer says, Ashreinu Shezachinu. So it's a zechus, it's an ashrecha. The fact that each day we can add, and the fact that our whole lives, our whole existence, there is no vacation, there is no off day, it's 24/7, 365. It's the greatest blessing in the world. You know, Eish HaMizbeach, which is the words in the Torah, in the Pasuk, in this week's Parasha, Eish HaMizbeach represents the altar, that there was this fire constantly burning. Eish HaMizbeach is 363 plus the two words is 365. It's a constancy. There's a 365 every single day, every single moment. You know, it's something for us to think about. The Mishnah Peah famously says, Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. I was thinking homiletically, Derech Drush, another idea based on what we've been saying. Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, that every single aspect of our lives is, if we're doing it and it's being governed by the Torah, it's that revolutionary, it's that expansive. For heaven's sake, the Torah, the world was created with the Torah. Sakal b'raisa b'rasa ilamo, and we have the ability to connect to that and live our lives according to that. So whether somebody's sick, whether somebody's on a vacation, whether somebody is in this place or that place, whether someone's a male or a female, he's a son or a daughter, whether someone's young or old, it doesn't matter. Every single person has to be governed and is governed by the Torah. yes, it seems overwhelming, and it's miyad ledoros, it's forever, it's yom yom, and that can be stressful, and yes, we need the zeros, we need the command of tzav, we need, of course, we need that, because it can be overwhelming, but it's a shreinu shezachinu, there's a tremendous opportunity there. Like, connecting to what the Kedushas Levi was saying, I mean, the fact that in our business, we can conduct ourselves, we can be learning every moment of our lives to a certain extent. If we're honest and we're business and we're living our lives kefi avodas Hashem, we're being like, if Talmud Torah keneged kulam, Torah has permeates every aspect of our lives. And it's mamish a great privilege, and it's such a great, great honor. I want to end with a fascinating remez, an allusion to the six constant mitzvos. You know, the six constant mitzvos are the sheish mitzvos tamidios, and Hashem gave me a matana, and I would like to share that with you. And the six constant mitzvos are like this: lahamin b'Hashem, to know that there's, to believe there's a God, to know there's a God, shalom lahamin zulah, so not to believe in other guides, yichud Hashem, God is one. Number four, avas Hashem, love God, and yiras Hashem is number five, to fear God. And number six, lo sasuru, don't be misled by your heart and eyes. And I was looking at the words in the parsha, eish tamid, eish tamid, eish tamid, and I'm thinking, I'm counting, eish tamid, it represents that constant fire, and maybe, just maybe, there's an allusion to the six mitzvahs, to the tamidius, the sheish mitzvahs tamidius, from the words, eish tamid. Eish tamid is comprised of six letters, and each letter, somehow, some way, I think, can connect to one of the six mitzvahs tamidius. I'm going to go through them quickly, and with that, we will close. So let's go with the Aleph from Eish Tamid. The Aleph represents what? It represents mitzvah number two. The second mitzvah was Shalom Lahamin Lizulasud, not to believe in other gods. What's the source for this mitzvah? It's the second of the Ten Commandments. The Torah says, Lo yalacha Elohim Acherim, Acherim, with that Aleph. Acherim begins with Aleph. The Aleph stands for Acherim. The Aleph from Eish Tamid stands for Acherim, not to believe in other gods. Rashi explains over there that they're Acherim, they're strangers. They don't really like you. They don't serve somebody who doesn't like you, right? They're strangers to the person serving, and not so is Hashem. That's the root of Shalom Lahamin Zulah. So don't believe and don't serve Elohim Acher, and don't serve other gods. That's the Aleph from Eish Tamid, corresponding to mitzvah number two of the six mitzvahs to Midios, not to believe in other gods. Shalom Lahamin Zulah. So number two, what's the Shin? The Shin corresponds to the sixth mitzvah, that not to be led astray. Lo sasuru acher levavchem v'acherei einechem. Right, it's all about the eyes, protecting the eyes. So of course, the Shin stands for Shmiras Einayim. You know, because that which your heart desires and your eyes see, you end up wanting that. So if you can already gain control and be Shomer Einayim, you will be able to connect to the sixth of the six mitzvot. Tamidus Lo Sasuru. So that we covered Eish, we covered the Aleph, we covered the Shin, corresponding to mitzvot two and six. Now we're up to Tamid. So the Tuf from Tamid corresponds to mitzvah number five. Which one? Mitzvah five was Yiras Hashem. What's the source for the mitzvah of Yiras Hashem? It's in Devarim 10:20. It says Esesh Emelokecha Tira. Tira is the Tuf. So the Tuf stands for the Tira. It corresponds to the mitzvah of fearing God. The Mem from Tamid, what does that stand for? That corresponds to mitzvah number four. The mitzvah number four is Avas Hashem, to love Hashem. The source for this mitzvah is V'yahavta Yisrael Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha, and it ends with V'chol me'odecha. It's this crescendo, it's me'odecha. The Mem stands for me'odecha. Me'od is something that can't be quantified, right? Me'od is like very much. How do you quantify that? Our love for Hashem is so great. It's so much. Like we mentioned before, it's something that we can add that love, add that passion, add those eitzim every single day. It's unquantifiable. It's in the realm of me'od. So we're up to the Yud now from Tamid. That corresponds to mitzvah number three, to know that God is one, Yichud Hashem. How so? The source for this constant mitzvah is Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. This is the mitzvah of Yichud Hashem. The Yud stands for Yichud, of course. This is incredible, no? Hashem is unique. It's Yichud Hashem. He's one of a kind, and we're connecting to that and realizing that. And finally, the Dalet from Tamid represents mitzvah number one, to believe in Hashem. Emunah, the source of this is Onochi Hashem Elokecha. The Dalet stands for Das, to know. The Rambam famously says that the mitzvah of Emunah, means Leda. It's not just about believing, but it's Lahamin Vieda. It's ultimately getting to the ability to know. You could believe in something so strong that it's actually now a bona fide knowledge. So the Dalet stands for Das. How incredible is this? Eish Tamid, the six letters of Eish Tamid, corresponds exactly, perhaps, to the six mitzvahs Tamidius, Eish, Aleph, Shin, Aleph to mitzvah number two, not to believe in other gods, the Shin, to not to be Shamir Naim, the Tav from Tamid, the Tira, not to fear Hashem, the Mem, to love Hashem, the Chol Meidecha, we said, the Yud of Yichud Hashem, that's the after Eish, and the right, Shema Yisrael, that is, and then the Dalet is the first mitzvah to believe in Hashem, to have Emunah. Hashem should give us the strength, the wherewithal, the knowledge, the ability to be able to connect to Him each day of our lives. Is it overwhelming that it's miyad uladoros b'chol yom v'yom, each and every day of our lives? Yes, there is no PTO, there is no off days. It's overwhelming, 100%. But it's such an incredible opportunity. It's something that no other religion, there's no other structure like this that exists. Yiddishkeit is the one thing that's like this because it makes sense. Hashem created the Torah, the world through the Torah, and we have access to that. So Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, it's corresponding to everything. In business, in our relationships, it doesn't really matter what it is. Even in our sick days, in our vacations, we are constantly living with the Yiddish there. It's all Avodas Hashem. There is no PTO, and that's the greatest thing. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this, please share it with somebody else that may find this interesting. If you have not yet received or purchased my book, Ready, Set, Grow from Mosaica, please, if you can reach out to, you can get it straight on Mosaica. You can find it in your local Judaica store. You can reach out to me and I can send you a copy. And thank you so much. It's been great. Have a fantastic week. Have a beautiful Shabbos, Parshas Tzav, Parshas Parah, and Amir Tashem. We'll see you next time. All the best. Hatzlacha Rabbah.